Morning, Sanctuary family and friends. My name is Keith Turner Jr., and I'm so excited to be able to share with you this next message in our sermon series, The Missing Ingredient. I want to say thank you to Pastor Rich, who has entrusted me with this opportunity. Many of you, I know you may still not know me. You see me on some of the host videos, and you see my precious daughter or my wife, but I'm grateful that Pastor Rich has given me this opportunity. And I'll share a little bit about my wife and I. This here, funny story, is a photo of us. We were supposed to be in Disney World this past May for my wife's birthday. And as you know, because of COVID-19, there was no way we were going to Disney World. So I did a whole Disney at home experience for my wife. I did it up for her, and we took this photo. And thankfully, Brother Malcolm was able to put us in front of Disney World's castle. So that was our Disney experience. But this is my wife and my beautiful daughter, Avon. We come from Cincinnati, Ohio. A little over a year ago, my wife and I, our faith was challenged at the critical point in our lives. We were in Cincinnati. Life was getting hectic for us. My wife was stressed on her job. Things were just going crazy in our lives, and we felt God was saying it was time for us to go. He continued to reveal to us time and time again that he was calling us to Columbus, Ohio. For what? We had no idea. We didn't know how we were going to be able to survive here. Only thing we knew is that I worked for Apple and I would be able to come here and still work for Apple. That's right. For all of you who have iPhones and iPads, God bless all of you. For those of you who don't, I'm praying for you. But regardless, all I knew is that I could get a job here at Apple. I was looking for ministry opportunities and nothing was opening up. But we knew God had given us peace about moving to Columbus. So we're here, and I'm glad about it. This past year has been an amazing experience for us. And today I'm going to talk about the peace of God, because my wife and I experienced peace about moving here, although it really did not make any sense for us. My wife was pregnant at the time, and we're moving away from all our family support. I know it's only an hour and a half away, but it was still a difficult task for us. But God still gave us peace. But can I be honest with you all today? Recently, peace has been missing in my life. When I got here, I started to worry so much about how God would provide for us. We gave up an entire $50,000 a year salary to be here, and I was worried. I was saying, God, I don't know how this is going to happen. I was not experiencing rest. I was not experiencing peace. And maybe some of you are like me right now, in the midst of COVID-19 and in the midst of social injustice, where black bodies continue to be murdered without arrests and convictions. We're living in a day where hate is made evident all across the media and social media platforms. Maybe peace is missing in your life. Here's how I knew I was not experiencing peace, because I wasn't experiencing rest in my body. My worries and my concerns consumed my life. Worry was consuming my thoughts. Every time I wanted to think about something good, there was a thought of worry coming after it. And most importantly, I was not communing with God regularly. I've allowed all the things that could keep me busy. I'm now working from home, which I'm thankful for. I can spend more time with my wife and my daughter, but I'm working from home, and I'm also doing this, that, and the next, and here I am going day in and day out without spending time with God. I was not experiencing peace. And you may be like me, you're not experiencing peace right now, and I'm so grateful I can share this message with you today. From this text here in Philippians chapter 4, I want you to know God's peace is accessible to you. If you have your Bibles, if you would open them or your Bible app, again, you can bring out that great iPhone or iPad as we read these two verses from Paul's letter to the church of Philippi. We pick up at chapter 4, verse number 6, and it says, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today I want to preach about peace from this main point, that peace is promised to all believers, but there is a condition for us to meet. I title this message, I Need Some Peace. Will you look at the person beside you and just tell them, I need some peace. I need me some peace. I know. I hear you. I need some peace. Before we dive into this text, I want to make sure that we are clear on what peace I'm talking about. Because often for us, we may think that peace is the absence of conflict or war. And the truth is, that is a type of peace that we see in the scriptures. But this is not the peace that I'm speaking about today. This peace is not the peace that the world offers. John 14, 27, Jesus gives us a promise. He will leave us his peace, but not as the world gives. What is he meaning? It's not a circumstantial type of peace where I've got to have the right car, I've got to have the right job, I've got to be making six figures in order for me to have peace. It's not even the American dream. Don't even get me started about how believers, our goal really isn't the American dream, but I'll get off of that. I'll get back to this point. Peace, this peace I'm talking about today, it comes from a Greek word here that Paul uses. It's called eirene. It's a peace that means to be held together, to be joined together in wholeness, a feeling of well-being and contentment, or experiencing rest. And the most critical thing about this peace is to know that it is supernatural. It is not something you get from mama, from daddy, from your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your wife, your husband. This peace only comes from God. That's why I love when Pastor Rich shared in the intro to this Missing Ingredient sermon series, he said, God is our source. If we're looking for hope, if we're looking for joy, if we're looking for peace, it only comes from God. That's the type of peace that we want to share in today. So Paul, he's writing to the church at Philippi, and he's writing from imprisonment in Rome, and he sends a letter back to the Philippians with Epaphroditus, who came to visit him and share gifts with him. And he's sharing this letter with these believers. These believers are near and dear to Paul's heart, because this was the place in Philippi where Paul planted this church, and he's encouraging them to now follow Jesus, that it's no longer about a rule and law following, but to follow Jesus. And he's writing to them, and as he's toward the end of this letter, he gives us how we can experience God's peace. Paul, he gives us the promise of God's peace, but he lays out conditions that we have to follow in order to get his peace. He says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And many of you who grew up, I grew up with the song in school, conjunction, junction, what's your function? Yeah, that's right. This English word and here, it is bringing together two clauses. It's bringing together the promise of God's peace with the condition that we cannot worry, and instead of worrying, we've got to pray. So he says, choose not to worry. Choose not to live a worrisome life. It is okay to be concerned about things that are happening in our world. It is okay for you to have concerns about things that are happening to you. I know people have been mistreating you. I know things have not been good on your job. It's okay to be concerned, but Paul says, choose not to worry. Keith, how do I choose not to worry when hell is breaking loose in my life? How do I choose not to worry? Paul gives us a way that we can do that when he's writing toward the end of this letter, when he says, finally, beloved, whatever is true and whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, to think on these things, to meditate on these good things, to meditate on the goodness of God, the promises of God, what God has spoken over your life, to meditate on those things. That's just one way for us to guard ourselves from some of the worries of life. And I want to give you this: name your worry or concern. Name it so that then you may be able to deal with it. Can I be honest? My wife and I, we've been in marriage counseling for about 6 months now. And I cannot begin to tell you how freeing it has been for us to be able to deal with the things that bring us worry and concern. For some of you, it's time for you to get some help dealing with your concerns and your worries. I even love how Pastor Rich shared with me. He said, Keith, when I feel myself getting a little anxious, I need to share it with my wife. I need to share it with my kids, because I don't want this to become me being so overly worried. Maybe for you, it's the season for you to learn how to say no. Because you say yes to things over and over because you want to please people and make people happy, but then you wind up being miserable and filled with worry because you've packed your plate full. Whatever your worry is, I'm challenging you to deal with your worry and choose not to live a worrisome life. And he says, don't worry, but instead of worrying, pray about it. Which leads me to my first point, that God's peace follows the presence of God. That I do not experience God's peace apart from his presence. I love it how Alexander McLaren, a British Baptist minister from the early 1900s, he puts it this way: the way to turn gnawing care, which is being overly anxious or worried, out of my heart and life, is to usher God into it and to keep him resolutely in it. I love how Jesus says it. Jesus invites us. He says in Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And what's the promise? I will give you rest. Jesus is encouraging us to come to him, to lay our burdens and to cast our cares on him, because he does in fact care for us. I need to be in the presence of God. And I told you that's been one of the things that has been missing for me. I haven't been communing with God. And what about you? Maybe we're not experiencing God's peace because we're not in his presence. The thing I love about spending time with God is that we don't have to be on our knees and in our prayer closet in order for us to be in the presence of God. These are some things that I've began to do as I've spent time with God. I've begun journaling with God. I never journaled before ever in my life, but I found peace with journaling with God, or praying the promises of God over my life, reading a proverb or a psalm every day, because Proverbs is the book of wisdom and psalm is a lot of psalms that we can give thanksgiving and praise to God and thank him for what he has done. We can go on a walk or bike ride. I know I've been recently going on bike rides and listening to sermons and just thinking about the things that have been shared with those sermons and talking with God. And here is my encouragement to you. Over the next 7 days, commit to spending intentional time with God. I know you have kids and you've got work from home and you've got all of these things, but regardless of if it's 10 minutes, if it's an hour, whatever time you have, make sure that you have intentional time in the presence of God. Because our prayer, us talking to God, is really all about our dependence on him. Because the truth is, I can't get peace by myself. The world can't give me the type of peace that I need. I don't have all the wisdom. I can't provide everything I need. But I have a God who can provide everything I need. I have a God who can provide wisdom and knowledge that I lack. We need God. And so in prayer, we're telling God, God, I need you. Recently, I ordered a new razor for my head. That's right, for all the bald men out here who shave our heads. You know, we like a clean, smooth shave. And I seen an ad on Facebook for this little shaver here. I love the way it like curves to, it's designed for bald heads, but it could be used for other things. And I ordered it because it had a 30-day risk-free trial. I was like, great, if I don't like it, I can send it back and get my money back. Thank you, Jesus. So I ordered this blade. And I got it, I started using it, and I liked it, but the issue that I had is that a piece came off of it. And I was pretty salty because I was like, I just got this thing. So what did I do? I called the manufacturer and I said, hey, I have a problem with this. I need a resolution. They said, thank you for calling us, Mr. Turner. It was an email. Thank you for emailing us, Mr. Turner. We're gonna send you a replacement blade free of charge. Hear me. I got a resolution because I contacted the manufacturer. What I'm telling you is that God is the manufacturer of peace. And if you want peace in your life, He is on speed dial, ready to receive your call and ready to speak to you. So peace, it follows the presence of God. But then secondly, peace will not always agree with what is logical. Because can we be honest? What we think peace would look like right now is, God, take away COVID-19. I miss being with my church family. I want to go back and be able to fist pound and hug people. Take it away so we can experience peace. Or if we could be honest, peace really is, for us at least, God, make sure that the people who killed these black bodies and they're not charged, they're not doing jail time. God, hold them accountable. Give us some justice. That will give us peace. But Paul says in the text that God's peace surpasseth all understanding. Can we all say together, ouch, that what I think should be peace, that God says, my peace won't always add up to what is logical for you. That peace is not the absence of conflict. But what I love about God's peace is that He can give us peace while we're struggling through things, while we're in difficulty. Look who's writing this letter. Paul is in the midst of being shackled. He's in Roman prison. He's being tortured. He's being beaten. And he's talking about the peace of God. Maybe I want to suggest that Paul is able to experience peace even while being tormented. And so he's writing to these believers in this Philippian church, and he's saying, listen, I know you're being persecuted for your faith. There's people who are calling you false prophets. They're giving you death threats, but God can still give you peace. It's like this. I was reading through Luke's gospel, and I stumbled upon this chapter 22, verses 41 through 43, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He's getting ready to die for the sins of humanity. And before he gets to the cross, there's a pit stop in Gethsemane. And Jesus, he cries out to the Father and says, Father, if you're willing, take this cup away from me. Yet, not my will, but your will be done. And this is the only place that we read the next few lines in all of the gospel accounts of this. Luke writes, an angel appeared to him from heaven and strengthened him. In other words, that was the answer to his prayer. It's that I will not take the cup away because that cup is going to bring salvation to many, but I'll give you what you need to endure the difficulty. What am I saying today? That God knows how to provide what you need, the peace you need to get through some of the difficulties. And people won't be able to understand how you made it through, but you'll be able to say, I got the peace of God. Jesus submitted to the will of God for his life, and he got what he needed in order to fulfill it. Will you submit to the will of God for your life? Because in doing so, in spending time in his presence, you too will have access to the peace of God. His peace, it is not logical. It does not agree. And I remember being in this place where I was like, God, this move to Columbus does not make any sense to me at all. We're giving up money. We got a baby girl coming. Only thing I know is I got a job. And the Lord was just saying, trust me. Follow that peace that I've given you. And I can truly tell you and testify, over this past year, I've seen God provide over and over again for us. He's given us everything that we needed and more. And it's like he's saying, if you will trust me, my peace will follow and my peace will be with you. Submit to God's plan for your life and you will experience his peace. Here's what I love about it. Peace will give you a new perspective of something that you may be going through that you may have never gotten without it, because it surpasses all understanding. So in other words, don't be worried when what God is sharing with you in your time with him doesn't make sense, because God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts, but trust him to provide what he said he would provide. Trust him to take you wherever he wants to go, knowing that his peace will follow. So if I want to experience his peace, I've got to be in his presence. I've got to know that his peace is not logical. And here's the last thing I want to share with you today. That God's peace is our goalie. Here's what I mean by this. We're finishing here. Philippians 4, verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. This word guard, it is a military term. It can also be taken to mean garrison. It's something that is protecting the believer. About 6 years ago, I was watching the World Cup. I'm honestly not a soccer fan, but watching the World Cup was fun. It was interesting to see all these people from all over the world cheer on their country. And so, of course, I'm cheering for the United States. And then there's a brother who is our goalie. His name is Tim Howard. This brother is a beast. I watched Tim defend the U.S.'s goalpost. The goalie's number one job is to protect their team from the enemy's attacks. I watched Tim Howard block shots, dive after shots to make sure that there were not being goals scored on us. Unfortunately, he did have to, but he let some goals through. We didn't win the World Cup, but it was amazing to watch how he was protecting his team. And what Paul is saying in this text is that God's peace will be our best goalie. It will protect our hearts and our minds as we live in Christ Jesus. That in other words, when the enemy throws dart after dart to get you to live in worry so that you don't experience God's peace, that's when you get in his presence and know his peace won't be logical, but his peace will protect you. I love it, because when I'm not good enough to protect myself, God's peace will protect me. How will his peace protect me? Whenever the enemy will throw things at you, God's peace will remind you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. God's peace will remind you that you are loved and cherished as a child of God. God's peace will remind you that he will never leave you nor forsake you. God's peace will remind you of the goodness of God. His peace will remind you of what he did for you before, and his peace should encourage you of what he is still able to do in your life. I love that his peace, Paul says, will guard us. It's like this. I was reading through scriptures and I was reminded of one of my, but a very famous and popular psalm. It's the Psalm 23, when the writer says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because God is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. The psalmist concludes his psalm by saying, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This sounds like someone who knows something about the peace of God, that though life will throw storm and trial and tribulation, and you will experience difficulties, you can trust that the God of peace, he will be with you. His peace will protect you. And you'll be able to say, "I've made it because of the peace of God." And I don't know who this is encouraging to, but I want to encourage you. God's peace is available to you. He wants you to experience his peace. He's inviting you to come to him. All you who are weary, you're burdened, you're tired, you're stressed out, he's saying, "Come to me and I will give you my peace." So as I close, here's a few reflection questions for you to consider. Are you experiencing the peace of God, or is it something that's missing in your life? Have you experienced God's peace in the past? And if so, recall what it was like to feel that peace, to be held together, mind, body, and spirit, to where you had concerns, but you weren't worried. How will you commit to spending time with God this week? Whether it's journaling, whether it's reciting some of the promises of God over your life, how will you commit to spending time with God? And through this message, has your perspective changed about God's peace? And if yes, how so? Sanctuary family, I pray that you and I, that we, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of police brutality, it is my prayer that we will experience God's peace. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for this word that is a promise of your peace. God, it gives us a condition that we have to choose not to worry, that we have to come to you and to pray to you, to thank you for what you've done and submit everything to you, knowing that in your presence, we'll experience your peace. God, I pray for everybody watching this virtual worship experience, that in their time with you, they'll experience peace and they'll be able to share with others how great your peace is. We thank you, God, so much, and we praise you because you are good and your peace is available to us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Sanctuary. Take care.